Good morning, church. The second reading is from Numbers, chapter 21, verse 4 to 9. Numbers, chapter 21, verse 4 to 9. From Mount Or, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Holy wisdom, holy word. Let's pray. God be with us in this moment. We welcome you into your space. But we shouldn't have to welcome you, God, but at times we're so distracted, even in the moments of being in your presence, we're so distracted and we think about ourselves and our lives and our challenges and our situations. We think about what we're going to have for lunch. We think about what we're doing tomorrow. But sometimes we don't even think about you. Holy Spirit, give us a holy space inside ourselves, so that in this moment, we think about you. For I'm not a teacher up here, I am a student. So speak to your student right now, for we are all students under your care. Bless us this day. Allow us to hear a personal, individualized message that will change our lives from this moment. In your name, God, amen. My wife said to me this morning, I always do this since I've had stoles, I rub them. In the beginning of me preaching, I rubbed the stole. My wife said to me this morning, she said, "You aren't nervous, are you? You've been preaching all summer." I said, "Doesn't stop. I continue to be nervous, for this is not me, this is God." Numbers. I don't know if anyone in here has ever read the book of Numbers, but it's not a book that if someone is experiencing challenges or going through situations, I don't say, "You know what, you need to go home and read Numbers. You need to look in Numbers for a word." It just doesn't happen. Numbers for me is very frustrating, can I be honest? You all aren't like, "Hey, you can't be frustrated about the Bible." But Numbers for me is very, very frustrating because there's a lot of anger. We're dealing with three entities here, God, Moses, and the Israelites. And everyone is so angry. And the way I read it, I don't know if it happened like this, but it goes so quickly. It's almost like, wait a minute, I need to take a nap while I'm reading this because it's just too much. It's crescendo after crescendo after crescendo. It's just a lot. Somebody, please just go to sleep. Talk about it in the morning. But Numbers is very powerful. You see, in Numbers, God is just very angry at the Israelites. You know, when you read Exodus and the Israelites have gone from Egypt, it almost feels like a nice dance between God and the Israelites. The Israelites complain, you know, a couple days pass by, and then God says, "Okay, I'm going to help you." In like a very soft voice, this is how I hear it, soft voice sort of way. It's almost like they're dating. Now, when you date somebody and they complain, it's cute. But years later, it's like, "Oh my God, stop complaining." Well, the years later is Numbers. Because the Israelites are complaining and God is just like, "No, I'm not taking it. Stop complaining." In chapter 11 of Numbers, God says to Moses, listen, I don't know why they keep despising me. I can't take this. You know what? I'm going to get rid of them. God doesn't have patience for them anymore. And then Moses, everything the Israelites say, Moses takes it with such sincerity and such hardness and such seriousness that every time they complain, Moses, it's like Moses is running to God, like, please help them. It's like, Moses, they just asked for water. They didn't ask. They're asking for water. Why? In Exodus, it almost felt like Moses walks to God, like, hey, you know, they just asked for water. In Numbers, Moses is running and falling on his face and going, God, please help us. In chapter 14 of Exodus, Moses says to God, I don't know why you're treating your servant like this. See, Moses is so fed up, he doesn't even want to be in the same group category with the Israelites. He says, why are you treating your servant like this? I didn't give birth to them. I didn't carry them in my bosom. Why are you doing this? So everyone's angry. But yet I have to think about the Israelites. The Israelites. A lot has happened to them. By the time of chapter 21, they just lost Aaron, one of their leaders. They were in mourning for 30 days. And they're still thinking about the times they were in slavery. You have to think it's pretty bad and pretty uncomfortable, pretty frustrating and pretty disheartening if you think about the time when you were in slavery. I mean, even down to the food, they're describing what they're eating. We had cucumbers, God! Every time I hear that line, I think of the crunch of cucumbers and how they must have thought of that. And now they're eating manna, this soft, sweet bread. They're very frustrated. So now in this moment, they're trying to get to the promised land. And they just want to walk through Edom. We just want to walk through. If we just walk through Edom, it's faster to get to the promised land. But Moses goes to the king of Edom. And the king of Edom says, no, you're not coming through here. And if you try to come through here, we're going to do something to you. So now they have to walk around. Just think about that. They know if they keep walking straight through and the promise of God that God gave to them is right there, if they can just take the easy path, the promise and the blessing of God is right there. Why do I have to go around something that seems easy? Why do I have to be uncomfortable to get the blessing of God? Why? I understand the Israelites. Aren't you supposed to be more comfortable as you walk towards what God has for you? But what the Israelites don't understand is that as you go toward that blessing and toward that promise, you get introduced to new devils. Not the actual devil, but new challenges that you've never seen before. Introduced to new frustrations that you've never felt before. And sometimes those new devils can make you go, wait, I was wrong. Maybe I'm not supposed to have this. Maybe I'm not supposed to have peace. Maybe I'm not supposed to have comfort. Maybe I'm not supposed to have a good family. Maybe I'm not supposed to go after my dream. Maybe I'm not supposed to get rid of the pain in my life. Maybe I'm always supposed to be depressed because it shouldn't be this uncomfortable. But it was uncomfortable for the Israelites. I mean, they had to walk around. Instead of walking straight through, they had to walk around. And it says in the word, they became impatient. So the Hebrew word for impatient is nephesh. Nephesh. There's many different words for impatient in the Bible. But nephesh is only said twice. It's said here in Numbers and in Zechariah. And this particular word, nephesh, means soul. Soul. So the Israelites, the soul of the Israelites, became impatient. Has your soul ever been impatient? Like your soul. Has your soul ever been impatient? Now, I'm not talking about the impatient when you're driving and you're behind a car that's driving too slowly, and I'm telling on myself right now. You're driving behind a car that's driving too slowly. I'm not talking about the impatient where you're waiting in a long line at a grocery store. I'm not talking about the impatient where you're waiting for someone to pick you up and they're running late. I'm not talking about that. See, when your soul becomes impatient, you don't know when things are going to change. You don't know when things are going to get better. You don't know when things are going to end. You don't even know what your next step should be to make things change. When your soul becomes impatient, you start to think, man, I must have made a mistake. I must be a mistake because this shouldn't be happening right now in my life. That's what happens when your soul becomes impatient, because you see, when you're just impatient because you're waiting in a line at a grocery store, you know when things are going to end. Okay, there's three more people. Okay, then I can leave. When you're waiting for someone to pick you up, you get a text or a call. Listen, I'll be there in 10 minutes. But when your soul becomes impatient, you don't know when things are going to change. The Israelites, I understand why they complained about food, because that was the only thing they could see that they could actually change. That was something they could control. But what they really wanted to control was when this thing was going to end, when they were going to be able to reach their blessing. You see, when your soul becomes impatient, it becomes impatient because your spirit is with that blessing. Your spirit is with that promise. See, God told the Israelites, this is what the promised land is going to look like. That was very smart of God, though. It's like advertisement to get them connected. Their spirit was with that promise. Their soul was aching, but their spirit was just telling them, just keep going. Just, I know your soul is impatient, but just keep going. And they couldn't. They couldn't keep going. Has your soul ever been impatient? Where your spirit has been with the thing that you want the most, but your soul is in the conditions that you're living in the moment. Where your spirit is with that thing that you think about when you're by yourself, when you're alone, before you go to sleep at night, the thing that you think will change your life, the thing that you think, wait, this is what God promised me. This is what God said God would give to me. God didn't say I would always be lonely, but I'm still lonely, and my spirit is with joy, but I'm not feeling joyful. God told me that I wouldn't always have to struggle, but my spirit is with peace, but I'm not feeling peaceful. Has your soul ever been impatient? You see, when your soul becomes impatient, what happens is you start reacting more to fear than to faith. Right now, the people of this world, their soul is impatient. Their soul is impatient. Because in this moment, they're thinking about what they need and they can't get to what they need, even though it's right there. The Israelites knew the promised land was right through Edom. People are asking, why do I have to walk around to get what I need? And other people walk out their house and have what they need. Why do I have to walk around to get what I think I should have? When other people keep taking the little bit that I do have. Their soul is impatient. Their soul is impatient. So then Moses, or God, sends serpents, fiery serpents, that just means poisonous serpents, to bite the ankles of the Israelites. It's interesting. They complain, and a poisonous serpent comes. It's just like, if you don't get it right away, then I don't know. But God sends these poisonous serpents. And they go to Moses, and they say, we sinned against you, and we've sinned against God. Help us. Moses goes to God. God says, okay, listen. Make a poisonous serpent out of bronze, and put it on a pole. And every time an Israelite is bit, they can look at that poisonous serpent and they will be healed. Poisonous serpent in bronze on a pole. Look at the very thing that is biting you and you will be healed. I thought, what? It's interesting. What? So the Hebrew word for to see or to look is roho.
Rojo. But that just doesn't mean to see as if I see someone across the street and I wave, and if you ask, someone asks me, well, what did they have on? I don't know, because I just saw them and I kept moving. But that Hebrew word to see means to inspect, to become aware of, to observe. It just doesn't mean to look and keep going. It means to actually stare at. It means to remain alive. So the Israelites are bitten, and they have to look at that poisonous serpent. So now I'm thinking, they're not just looking at this poisonous serpent because they're looking at the thing that bit them. What's really happening is they're looking at the poison that they're allowing to go within them. You see, when your soul becomes impatient, what happens is when you begin to look at fear, when your soul becomes impatient and you start planning your life around fear, you start allowing this poison to get within you. I'm going to use myself as an example. If you don't know this, I'm going to tell you. I am a woman, I am gay, and I am black. There are moments, and sometimes it can go every day of a week, but there are moments when I sit down and I think about all the things that God wants me to do. And then I go, no, this can't happen. You know how many systems are against me just because I am gay, I am black, I'm a woman. Do you know how much I have to go through? Do you know how excellent I have to become more than other people because I am gay, I am black, and I'm a woman? God, I don't know how you want me to do this. And as soon as I do that, I become fearful. I start moving in fear. It starts as simple as, I complain a lot to my wife about things, and she looks at me like, why are you complaining? But it has nothing to do with that. It's just because I'm fearful. I start discounting myself. I start not doing ideas because I become fearful. I allow this poison to come into my body. You see, the Israelites weren't staring at the bronze snake because the bronze snake put poison inside of them. They were staring at the thing that allowed them to be poisoned in the first place. See, I have a choice every day I wake up. I can keep staring at the things that want to hold me back. Or I can stare at the faith that God has given me to move me forward. If I stare at the faith, I'm not saying my soul won't still be impatient, but I can keep moving. But if I keep staring at the things that are holding me back, I'm going to stay in one place and allow the poison to overtake me. See, this entire text is very powerful for me because it's almost as if the Holy Spirit was saying to me, as it said in Psalms, it's time to sing a new song. You can't keep singing about poison and then walk towards faith. At some point, you have to keep moving towards faith, even though the serpent may be nipping at your ankles, you will remain alive because you've just stared at faith. Amen.